So during my final semester at seminary, I had an evening class which was more of a seminar than a lecture. We would read and discuss sermons preached in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries, uncovering the ancient origins of the different rituals we still use in worship today. After spending 2 hours digesting these ancient writings, we would develop an appetite. So the entire class, including the professor, would leave campus to digest something a little more edible. We would stroll through Chelsea, stopping at any place that looked good. Over steaming bowls of noodles, plates of seafood, and New York deli sandwiches, we would match the 2 hours we spent in class with 2 hours around the table. We rarely talked about the ancient preachers we had just read, but we did talk about the church and our faith a lot. My classmates and I were mostly seniors. We were about to graduate and in a few short months be scattered all over the country. We couldn't wait to leave seminary behind us, but we knew that life as a pastor would change. So our conversations around those restaurant tables were peppered with anxiety, fears, and hopes. All of us felt called to serve God's people, but none of us really knew what that would look like. It was near the end of a semester's worth of these kinds of conversations when my professor asked me something. He knew why all my classmates wanted to be pastors, but he hadn't heard my story yet. He wanted to know why. Why give up the semi-successful career I had? Why do this faith thing when I knew what it was like to live without it? Why do church? So I answered him. I told him it's because I met Jesus on my version of a mountaintop while walking down some stairs into a Canal Street subway station. And right then, everything changed. Today's story from Matthew isn't, I think, only a story. It's an experience. And sometimes these kinds of experiences need music and art because words aren't enough. In today's text, when Peter starts speaking, after Jesus starts to glow, even Peter is interrupted by God and told to just be quiet. Because the transfiguration, like Jesus, is something that words can never fully explain. There is no phrase or thought or sentence that can truly unpack and reveal everything about it. Sometimes we need other people's poetry to give a voice to the experience that we had or the experience we wish we had. In the quest to see or feel or notice God and Jesus in our lives, we can find ourselves chasing after mountaintops, chasing after these kinds of experiences, but not always getting what we hope to find. When Peter, James, and John headed with Jesus up that mountain, I imagine they expected that day to be like every other. Jesus had a habit of taking a break, heading into the mountains to pray and recharge. I bet the disciples thought that was what they were going to see. But today was different. Without any explanation or lead-in, once that crew of four got high on the mountain, Jesus suddenly changed. His clothes became white, his face glowed, Moses and Elijah stopped by and said hello. There is nothing normal about this. But by that point in Jesus' ministry, the disciples were used to non-normal experiences happening when Jesus was around. Every healing, every feeding, every confrontation with the religious and political authorities must have felt like being on another mountaintop with Jesus. The excitement, the exhilaration, the reassurance that they were literally walking with God, that must have been amazing and maddening and confusing all at the same time. We know the disciples never really understood exactly what Jesus was doing. But their time with Jesus must have felt awesome. And today, when Jesus is transfigured, all the previous mountaintop moments are one-upped by seeing Jesus lit up like fireworks on the 4th of July. This is Jesus in his glory. This is Jesus as we would like to see him. This is Jesus fully expressing the wonder and hope and love we know he contains and shares. This is mountaintop Jesus extraordinaire and a Jesus moment we would like to chase down and experience over and over again. The life of faith can seem like we're called to seek and chase after these kinds of mountaintop moments. Moments where we see Jesus easily and where God's voice bellows in ways that everyone else can hear. And if we're not having these kinds of faith moments, we wonder where God is. And we think maybe we're doing this Jesus thing wrong, or maybe Jesus just doesn't care about us. We can imagine that a life of good faith is one that is stuck on that mountaintop, one that sees and hears and fully knows God and never has questions or doubts or tragic experiences that bring us down. We can make our faith a faith looking for mountaintops rather than noticing that Jesus never stays there. Jesus always comes down the mountain. And the disciples do too, because the life of faith isn't about chasing mountaintops. It's about noticing and seeing and naming those moments when Jesus shows up and how those moments change our everyday kind of living. But our faith doesn't begin once we find a mountaintop. Because Jesus in today's text doesn't really do anything new. He just gives his disciples a clear vision of who he is and who they already know him to be. Even when his face doesn't shine, Jesus is still Jesus. Even when we don't see him, he's there, always present, always loving, always helping us to see the world and ourselves in a new way. We might carry with us two or three mountaintop moments, or we might wonder when our mountaintop moment will finally come. But know that they do come, and only because Jesus brings them. We can't create or chase them down on our own. And sometimes we need others, need the people around us to hear our story and tell us where God was. Because sometimes Jesus shows up with his face shining bright. But other times he shows up walking with you on a quiet subway staircase, letting you know that since you were baptized, since you were born, since you were created, Jesus was there, even if you didn't see him for years. Your mountaintop moments will not be my moments, but they do point to the same story. God has claimed us. Christ was given to us. We are touched by the Son of God who walks with us no matter what. And by being with us, Jesus tells us to get up, to look up, to see him here in our church, in our neighborhoods, and in all kinds of people and in all kinds of places. Because where we go, Jesus is. And no matter how insecure or worried or terrified we feel, Jesus says, do not be afraid, because Jesus changes everything. Amen.